This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice here. Tim the Lead Leatherman is joining me this evening as our co-host.
Howdy.
That
was really terrible.
That was terrible. You'll have to practice.
Yeah, I need to sort my shit out.
James is away studying like a student at this time of year. So Tim's been very helpful in joining me tonight. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, joining us this evening is JPP.
Hey.
Better known as Rubber Johnny, really, to our community.
Oh, Rubber John.
Rubber John. Rubber John. No, not yeah. Yes. So
Johnny's more like a plumber with ass crack theatre.
Rubber John. So Rubber John, how did you get involved into rubber?
Oh, we're going to go back in the Wayback Machine now.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was 1997.
Right.
And I was in Amsterdam, traveling, backpacking, never do it again. And I went into a store and they had this amazing latex top on. I said, oh, this is really cool. Can I try it on? And the store assistant was like, yep, no probs. It took a long time to get on because I was sweaty. Walking around town, seriously, sweat and latex don't mix. And then she sprayed me with a hairspray to make it shine. And I think
The outside.
And it's interesting because this is before the euro. And it worked out to be, oh God, about $300-$400 for this one top. I went, oh God, this is expensive. So I had to hand it back to her, this kind of like sweaty latex mess, and said, no, I'll think about it. I'll go for a walk.
Yeah.
So, that was my first real, I guess, interaction with it as a clothing item.
So how old were you then?
Spring chicken. I would have been 22.
Okay.
Yeah. Do the math.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So 22-year-old, yes, in Amsterdam.
Yep.
And walking into a store going, yep,
I like this.
I like this. But not at the time. But you couldn't afford it at the time.
I couldn't afford it. No. And of course, you know, Amsterdam for me was this really interesting place. You'd walk down the street and there'd be like a baker, a shop, then sex shop, live show. It was really insane. It was amazing. It was just so free. Anything went there. It was really, really good. So,
So you got the taste then, the once off in a store.
That's right, yeah.
So how long was it until you...
The next time. It's interesting because we look at the, I guess, the introduction of, I guess, latex in fashion, and it really started, I think, with Vivienne Westwood. She was very keen to have that whole rubber for the office kind of look. Of course, you've got people like Jean-Paul Gaultier, even Gianni Versace, who were starting to introduce it.
And that was sort of in the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah. It was kind of like a byproduct from the punk era. And the issue with it, though, was it was really expensive to manufacture, and people weren't very familiar with it as a really wearable garment. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you have all these people starting to really play with it in the fetish community. And so places like Berlin and Amsterdam and London really started to, you know, take off with places where you can actually wear it, show it off. So we start seeing more people playing with it, testing with it. But, yeah, there's that whole, you know, how do you maintain it? How do you care for it? How do you wear it? And I think the next big stigma for me was American Horror Story, when Dilip McDermott came out in his gimp latex onesie. I just went, wow. This is something I need to revisit.
So that was only a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah, about two years ago.
So it's just taking you all that time before.
Well, no, not really. I was looking at some stockists overseas, but they had really limited things you could buy, like, you know, a pair of shorts or a singlet. It was mainly geared towards female clothing. So, of course, yeah, menswear was very, very limited. But now we've just seen a huge explosion of different varieties of clothing for men, which is great.
And generally speaking, is rubber of a similar price or less expensive than leather? Or is it you know, pretty much on par, on ball?
It depends. Like with anything, you can get really good quality garments, or you can get some really cheapo options. I find with...
So before you go, what makes a good rubber outfit?
Okay. Well, latex rubber in itself really is a... It's not very strong, and you can get it in different gauges. So depending on what type of constriction you want will then denote how easy it is to put on and how long and durable it will be. So with that in mind, you really want to make sure that you've got confidence in where you're purchasing it and if they have a really good reputation. So then there's, of course, the cut. And a lot of people are really nervous about trying rubber on. They think, oh, I can never wear it. It won't fit me. It will gape. So you really have to, you know, shop around and have a look and see which ones work well for you. But yes, you know, once you find a stockist who's reliable and, yeah, they've got a really good reputation, I think that really helps.
And then it sounds like it's similar price generally to leather or...
So... These days, you can buy leather anywhere between about $400, $500 up to $7,000 for a pair of pants.
Yeah, yeah.
With rubber, you can get some really good leggings or pants anywhere from, let's say, maybe about $150, anywhere up to like $500. So, yeah.
And then I was asking that because I think it in some ways does seem that rubber is... Not the cheaper option. It sounds bad to say that, but the cheaper option.
Well, yeah, I keep on saying that, you know, rubber is a gateway drug to leather.
Tim, what do you think about rubber? Is it a gateway option?
I don't know. I started off with leather. I mean, like, I suppose the thing about... I suppose the thing about leather is that, like, there are so many different kinds of cuts and designs in terms of buying leather items.
Yeah.
What's sort of like an entry level rubber piece? Because I mean, like, I first started with a harness, which is, I suppose, the easier option for your first piece of leather.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there like a rubber equivalent or something?
Yeah, you've seen me in my rubber harness, haven't you?
Yeah.
Pretty much anything that you can get done in a leather garment, you should be able to get into a rubber garment as well. And obviously, the gauge of or thickness of the rubber is dependent on, I guess, where it will be worn. So, obviously, you'll find, you know, with like a Sam Brown or a harness or even armbands, you'll find that's a really, really thick, durable rubber. You wouldn't want to get a T-shirt or...
Because you're taking it on and off a lot, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Really. The interesting thing also, though, with the rubber is that it actually has memory. So very much like leather, how it actually conforms to your body, rubber will do the same thing too. So over time, it does get easier to put on. Trust me.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We're speaking with Rubber John about rubber.
What else?
What else? Yeah. Now, Tim, we should remind our listeners, we have a prize tonight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we've got a...
The Down and Dirty...
That one. Down and Dirty calendar. It's... Awesome. I've got one hanging in my room.
I'm going to have
you
mine
want
at work.
To get your paws on it. That's pretty amazing.
0427 Joy 949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Include your member number, and of course, you cannot have won a prize in the last 2 weeks. Rubber John. So what was the first piece you bought?
Oh, geez. I actually bought what is it? They call it the skinhead pants, polo top, and... what is it? And suspenders.
Suspenders. I can picture it. So let's try and describe it. So like the old
bleachers. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so like a denim-looking white, blue but white wash.
But no, these are all just black.
All just black? Yeah. Okay.
And, of course, I like red. obviously not for the, what red symbolizes, which is interesting.
How do you get out of that?
I just go, I like red. And then like going, oh, geez, I thought you'd be into fisting. And it's like, oh, ventriloquism isn't really my forte yet. But
you just like the color.
I love the color.
So is that three pieces?
Or is it three pieces, okay. Yeah.
Jeez, and, so you went all out.
What's that?
Did you buy that all at the same time?
All at the same time. I said, you know, it's like taking off a Band-Aid. Just do it quickly and simply. Yep. So, and I must say, I just rocked up to Spit and Polish one night down at the Laird, and everyone just went, oh, my God.
Because we'll get on to community a bit later on, but community for rubber in face-to-face interaction is not huge in Melbourne.
Not at all. No, we are very much a leather city here in Melbourne. Rubber is there, but it's not as, you know, visual as what you'd hope it to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a bit later on. Mm-hmm. So your first piece was, as you said, the jeans and the polo and the suspenders. How quickly was it before you started building up your wardrobe?
Well, yeah, I needed to get next paycheck for that one.
So 2 weeks.
An interesting thing is, obviously, my supplier was over in the UK in London, and so I had to make sure I could get the pieces to me as quickly as possible. So I ended up getting it rerouted into work. So,
oh, no. Please don't tell me you went to the toilet, got changed, then walked out.
Maybe. No. No, I did try the pants on at work.
Yep.
I was just really excited. The first time, definitely. It's really hard to try and work out, especially when you're buying a clothing online, you're thinking, is this going to be the right size?
And it doesn't matter what
it's like with everything. And I said, I want to know, you know, how good this is. And so many people were telling me really good stories about the supplier in the UK. I said, they're pretty much spot on. Whatever you have, whatever your size is in your jeans or in a T-shirt is going to be perfect in rubber.
So if you're a 32, 30, whatever in jeans.
Jeans, yep.
Go for a 30 in rubber.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I sort of assumed that it would need to be slightly smaller or larger or something.
If it's a little bit smaller, you might end up with some blue extremities.
Right.
And they might fall off after a couple of hours. Anyway.
And that's a whole different fetish.
That's a different type of fetish. Yes.
And so what you're saying is that basically you can buy to the size that you normally have.
Definitely. Yeah. It's... It has a lot of give to it.
Okay.
In that sense. So, the other thing, it hides a multitude of sins.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it?
It's so like a corset. It just sucks everything
sucks
in.
Sucks everything. Yeah. So, it doesn't... Do you find it... So, it doesn't bulge...
No.
As much?
No. Really? Which is great. I have a latte layer. When you get to a certain age, you know, you start to lose your abdominals and it turns into a keg. Yeah.
But do you find it puts it all into place?
Puts it all back in. Yeah, it's great. And people go, wow, you're well fit. I said, don't. Wait until I take it off. It's like, oh. Is it?
So basically, basic tip for beginners, one of many tips I'm sure we'll get through, is just to buy in the size that you normally would wear.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So whatever you'd have in a jeans cut or a jacket size or a T-shirt size, you should be fine. And they've got usually really good reputable rubber suppliers will have sizing charts, etc. So they have a UK, a US and European sizing chart. Yeah.
Invite a friend around and...
Exactly.
Get them to measure
you. You know what I'd love to do here is I'd love to have a trunk show. I'd love to get one of the suppliers to come out with a whole range of what they can offer.
And get people
to try it on. And then from there they say, if I like it, if I don't like it, and then just order.
Hide and seek.
You're on Joy 94.9 and this is Hide and Seek. I'm Tim Grant and you're here with Angie the Apprentice and also JPP or Orlando.
It's my really bad impersonation of walking in rubber, but anyway.
Shouldn't we squelch? How do you make a squelch noise?
That requires a lot of dancing and a lot of production of sweat.
Okay, let's not go there tonight.
Well, no,
we need to go there.
We need to go there.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
Let's go there.
All right.
Um, Because the other night there was a dance party.
There was indeed.
And you were wearing rubber.
I was. It was a Halloween. It was thick and juicy. And I was a knight in shining rubber.
You were.
I was.
And, however, you were also dripping wet.
Yes, I was.
Well, internally, anyway.
Internally, yes, yeah.
So, rubber sweats.
It does. If you are prone to excessive sweating, if you do wear a full piece, it will. There is that potential that it will collect. And if you have zips located in certain areas,
yep.
It might leak.
That's hot.
Yeah. Oh, I have to tell you a story. So, I was really excited. I bought myself my first rubber onesie. Mm-hmm. And so the zip goes from the crotch all the way at the back and then up to the neck. Now, the first time I put it on, it was seriously, I needed to do yoga just to get that zip up the back. Whenever you're putting on rubber, it's really good to try and lubricate the latex wherever possible. So some people suggest talc.
Mm-hmm.
Some people also recommend lube.
Mm-hmm.
And the other option is putting it on in the shower.
So putting it, presuming a warm shower, so it expands.
Yeah, it expands, but also the skin maintains a little bit of water on it, so it actually glides in. So I decided with my one piece.
Was this pretty early on as well?
It was, yeah. It was the first time I put it on. And so what had happened is I'd had a shower. That's another problem. If you really, really hot and sweating and you just had a shower and you want to get into rubber, wait.
Okay, so don't go to the gym in it.
Nuh-uh. Oh, well, yeah, there's a couple of images on Tumblr with guys going to the gym in rubber, but anyway. Anywho, so I put the talc on.
Yeah.
So talc and sweat equals...
Just clag.
That's just like clag.
I ended up making a tempura better. Seriously.
I suppose you're all brown and like.
Well, crunchy. What had happened was I thought, okay, the talc's sticking to my sweat, so I'll add more talc. And then it got stuck. And then I tried to put it on and I sweated trying to get into it. So yeah, it was like tempura better. Got in the shower, washed it all off. And put my one piece on in the shower. Went up in literally a minute.
So that's how you put it on?
Yeah.
So tips?
Tips, definitely. If you've got a piece that's really tricky, definitely do it on the shower. Some pieces I've heard you can actually access through the neck hole. Seriously, you need a Jaws of Life to try and get that open.
Wait, from the legs up?
Yaha.
Jesus.
I'm thinking, nah, but yeah, there's a couple of suits so you can actually just stretch it right open. Yeah. So
right. We're talking about rubber here.
We are. Just in case you're thinking, tempura? Really? What?
It's not cravings.
It's not MasterChef either.
No. So what's the most unique piece you've got?
Oh, jeez. Unique. There is a piece I want to buy.
Okay.
I was discussing.
We'll go there.
Yeah. Okay. So we had Halloween thick and juicy. One of the guys rocked up in this amazing black Spider-Man outfit, but it was in Lycra. And I went, I have to get that one in rubber.
Yeah.
So I've been searching online and there's a couple of places that have got it, but I'm a little bit hesitant to buy it.
It's really only a once-a-year outfit.
Yeah. No.
No? Okay.
I reckon we could probably introduce, like, a rubber superhero night.
Could I just ask, does this tempura batter, like, spurt from the wrist?
Or we're going to say, come.
We're talking about
nice,
come.
Nice. But, yeah, there's a lot of pieces now being made in China. And obviously, with that in mind, a lot of the clothing is made from sheet latex. And so that's manufactured in a one-piece sheet. So obviously, you know, if there is some pieces which aren't as uniform as others, you'll find there'll be imperfections, which means that the latex will be prone to tearing or you might have inconsistencies in the actual fabric itself. The latex is normally transparent. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, what they do is they treat it with different colours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's why you can buy a lot of it in black. You can get it in transparent. And then, obviously, you can get any other colour, but obviously, they're not as manufactured as much as what the black or the transparent one would
be. So, the transparent one is the normal one.
That's the normal one, yeah.
And then the black is added.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, wow,
so
okay.
So, the actual latex rubber, and it's funny because, you know, you can use it either or. Because people, when they talk about rubber, they think it's different to latex. And they think latex is different to rubber. It's both the same thing. Mm. But it's a natural substance, and it's just been modified. And, of course, you can have it in the sheet form or you can get it in liquid form. So people can also play around with liquid latex in terms of molding for certain garments. The issue with that, though, is that there can be inconsistencies in terms of the thickness of the latex that's laid down. So people prefer that in terms of more bespoke or real tailored pieces, but I think you'll be fine. You'll be fine with the sheet. And obviously the amount of tailoring that goes into making a good garment will then, of course, denote the cost as well. So
you're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. You are with me, Andrew the Apprentice, Tim the Lead Leatherman, and Rubber John. We're talking rubber. Don't forget, you can email in email in on air at joy.org.au, or you can SMS 0427JOY949. Tim, we've got a prize tonight.
Yes, we do. We have a 2015 Down and Dirty calendar. It's pretty impressive. It's amazing.
There's a couple, I'm sure there's a couple of months where there's rubber as well.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of months with rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sexy.
It's massive.
I think he goes through the flags. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
It's a big calendar too.
It is a very big calendar.
Yeah.
It's thanks to Down and Dirty and VAC. A reminder, it is a restricted calendar, not for minors. Let us know if you want to go in the draw, 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice, Tim the Laird Leatherman and Rubber John are with you. We're talking rubber and it is your program about sex and sexuality. So, John, big question.
Yep.
What is rubber like to have sex in?
Amazing. It really is. It's something else. Yeah.
I imagine it's very sensual.
It is. The fact is that you have a very limited space between your skin and the actual medium. So the fact is you can feel everything from your partner as well. The worst thing is to try and get out of rubber to have sex in. So the benefit is a lot of the clothing these days actually has very strategically placed zips and entry points and exit points.
Getting a hard on in rubber,
it
doesn't have much place to go.
No, it does.
When you get an erection, it's fine.
It kind of like goes sideways.
Goes sideways or whichever way
you... out. Yeah.
When you're putting rubber on, do you have to pre-plan getting a hard on?
No.
No, it'll it's enough give and take that it'll...
Yeah, I think one of the amazing things about it as a material is that it has that sheen and that gloss that you can get from leather. Leather obviously has a thickness to it and a smell. And the same thing happens with rubber. It has a sheen and a smell that goes with it as well. But I find that usually there's a bit of pre-cum in there.
Yep.
Which helps lubricate everything. So,
Tim,
and the fact is that you can be really dirty with it as well. So it's like a membrane.
Yes. And you can just hose it out.
You can hose it. It doesn't stain.
It doesn't stain.
I got really annoyed when I have cum stains on my leather.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going, bloody hell, how did that happen? Is that spinach dip?
No.
the benefit with rubber is that it just washes straight off and it doesn't stain or leave any marks, which is great.
So and that sort of brings me into community because, as we mentioned very briefly before, there's not a big leather, not a big rubber scene in Melbourne in the face-to-face. Is it a big online community?
I think when we look at, I guess, rubber fetish globally, we find that the epicenters are places like Germany, UK. So mainly more colder climates. It really is... I find it's a very much a winter-based garment. You don't want to be wearing it in summer.
Yep.
Especially if you're wearing the full piece. I found out doing Beyond earlier this year.
Right. Yeah. Yes, which was January.
January, yes. It was probably one of the hottest evenings we had. I rocked up, in full rubber. And when I got home, when I took it all off, it was just liquid everywhere.
So get undressed in the shower as well as dressed in the
Definitely,
shower.
Definitely. Yes. But with, I guess, what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to alert people to, I guess, the presence of rubber as an alternative to leather. I don't want it to overshadow leather because I still love leather as well.
Yep.
So the three L's, leather, latex, lycra. Yeah.
That's
I'm a happy boy.
Just greedy.
greedy. but yeah, it's, I think a lot of people are nervous about stocking rubber because of its, in the past, it has a very finite period in terms that it can deteriorate quite quickly. And that's probably why a lot of people don't want to invest in it, because they think if I buy a piece and maybe 3 or 4 years down the track I need to replace it, or even a year down the track, it feels like it's a waste of money. I haven't got a good wear out of it. And again, places to wear it. Where do you wear it? Exactly. It's popular. It's really popular in the goth community.
Mm-hmm.
You find a lot of people like mixing it up. Steampunk likes playing around with a little bit of rubber as well. And again, it's very popular with our female... female, I guess...
Colleagues. Sisters.
Sisters. But the more that people get to see it and try it on, they go, wow, I'm hooked. I've converted quite a few really, I guess, very strong leather people into rubber. And they're like, wow, where's it been all my life? So,
so as we're wrapping up, key tips are if you're wanting to explore it,
yep.
Then if online is a good place to explore what's online, around.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that you can explore online. There's some really good places in Canada. Really good places in the UK, Germany. Obviously, I can't mention them all online. There are a couple that I would recommend. One is Regulation in London. The other one is Rubber Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Rubber Addiction is a little bit more expensive, but you can get some amazing things made. And, of course, we've got a couple of suppliers locally here in Melbourne, which is good. So I think Mr. B is now extending their base, and they're doing a lot more rubber garments as well. So hopefully we might start to see that filtering in through here. But in terms of whereabouts you can wear it, we've tried to take over one of the Spit and Polish nights down at the Laird. So usually it's every second Thursday of the month. We've made it the unofficial rubber night. So if you do want to come down and wear rubber or just to see what it's like, I will buff you.
and as you said before, size-wise, just whatever your normal size. If you're wearing a 30 jean, then buy a 30 rubber.
Definitely. Yeah. So if you're a 30 centimetre inch waist in your jeans, get the same in rubber as well.
34, whatever it is.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's really important to get some products to maintain your rubber for a little longer than what it will last for. So there's some really great polishes out on the market. One of them's called Vivashine. I use it a lot. Yeah, I could probably buy shares in it. but that's really good. What it does, it actually buffs up the sheen to the rubber, so it glistens. I keep on saying to people, think of me as like a refrigerator, one of those aluminium ones. You know, if you put a fingerprint on me, it's going to stay there. So. But no, it's really important to make sure that you maintain it. And every time you finish wearing it, I usually hang it up in the shower, and I usually have a shower with it just to clean it off, and I always make sure I store it dry. That's really important.
And is it a case that, like leather, for example, if you store it in the drawer, it can go mouldy and stuff like
definitely,
that.
Definitely, yeah.
Rubber, you don't.
Rubber can deteriorate as well. Yeah.
Yes. So hang it up in a airy spot.
Definitely, yeah. And make sure it's dry and clean.
And clean.
And clean. You'll be thinking, what is that thing there? It looks like egg.
and just try it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Come and find you online somewhere. And
that's right, yeah. A lot of people are really nervous about trying it on because they say, oh, I can't wear it because I'm really hairy. That talc gets rid of that problem really quickly. So.
Oh, okay. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Don't worry if you're hairy. It's not going to all come off. So.
Rubber John, JPP.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Hide and Seek.
Brilliant.
And Tim?
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. And thanks for polishing us up.
Buffing.
Yeah. I felt well and truly buffed now.
Exactly.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.